Okay.
N 54.
Did you miss his confession?
Bingo!
It's all right, I've got down longhand. Okay. Are we
ready? We're happening now, man.
Go ahead, it's recording.
Okay.
We are happening.
Why don't we start with something simple? What's bringing you to Chicago this time?
What brings me to Chicago? Mm-hmm. Just a promotion tour. Mm-hmm. Trying to, you know, the album is going to be out on the 22nd, and I'm just going to various cities playing, you know, going to the radio stations, getting the promotion men happening, you know, starting to get everybody juiced up, mm-hmm. play the tape, play cassettes on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been just doing that and going to, you know, just everybody that helps, the promotion men, the radio station, the local magazine, the local record store chain, you know, mm-hmm. merchandising.
Are you doing any in-store things here in Chicago?
I don't know. I really don't.
You haven't done any?
He told me all this stuff that I was going to do, but I don't remember. I don't remember any in-store record. What's the big record chain here? Peaches?
Peaches is, I believe we've got Peaches store in Chicago, Rolling Stone Records.
Rolling Stone Records?
Does that sound familiar?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
I don't know if I'm going to go into stores or not. Well, if they'll give me free tapes, I will.
Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about the upcoming tour? The end of June, is it?
I don't know anything about a tour.
When you'll
I got
be
no
in
information.
Chicago.
I don't know. I don't even know if we will play Chicago. I imagine we will. I'm sure we probably will. We've never missed it on a tour yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when. Mm-hmm. Other than it won't be in May. And it won't be in April, so it'll probably be in June or July, in the summer. And I don't know where we'll play, if we'll play this Uptown Theater again, or we might play a bigger hall. We might even do a show with a giant act. We might even do I don't know what your big hall is here.
The stadium, Chicago Stadium.
Stadium, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We might do a stadium show even.
But are there any plans being made for that right now? Just all.
Yes, they are. There are planned. It's being planned at this very moment. Only they won't tell me about it.
Why is it that they won't tell you?
Well, I mean, you know, they didn't want to give me any specific information that I could screw up out on the road here. So the agency is back in California, and I'm sure they're working on the tour at this very moment. But what they're working on and where is a mystery to me. It's a mystery to me.
Okay, why don't you tell me about the shows you did in Hollywood recently? What sort of thing did you do on stage there?
In Hollywood? Mm-hmm. Crazy things. Well, we did two shows a night, which is hard on us, so we did a shorter show than when we did here. I think we did like a 2.5-hour show when we played Chicago. But in Hollywood, we were doing about an hour and 45 minutes, or hour and 40.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to do the new material, you know, as much of it as we could. We know six out of the new songs, out of the new 11 songs, we know six of them that we can play live, you know, that we've had a chance to rehearse, because we ended up not finishing the album on time as usual, and we had to start the gig at the Whiskey. And so we had to do two shows a night and then go to the studio at 2:30 in the morning and continue doing the album, you know, every night. For the first 2 weeks of the Whiskey, we went to the studio every night, mm-hmm. after the gig, and stayed there till 11 the next morning, you know, go home, get 6 hours of sleep, go back and do the show and do it again. So
what sort of act are you doing now? Off of the songs off of the new album, what sort of act do you have that goes along with that on stage?
Oh, gosh. Exciting. A new and exciting, all different. We do a Frank Sinatra song. It's on the new album. There's a Frank Sinatra song called This Town. And so I went and bought myself a 1960 Frank Sinatra suit with real thin lapels,
mm-hmm.
thin tie, thin collar, shark skin, you know, pegged pants. And we have a Frank Sinatra's, we do that number with the scantily clad dancing girls in white canes. We have a little, like a Charlie Chaplin type of cane dance, you know. And that's, we do a punk version, a punk set during the show where we do a couple of the new songs in the punk set, Johnny Bugger and the Shits.
And how do you come on stage dressed for that?
With the punk clothes on, with the punkiest clothes we've got. All safety pins, leather jacket safety pin together.
Mm-hmm.
And just generally disgusting, filthy, dirty, ragged clothes.
About how many different types of these acts do you have in the concert? In the 2 hour.
How many costume changes? Mm-hmm. About 8.
Do you do any of the old things that you used to do? The Quaalude?
Yeah, we do a little bit of Quaalude. Quaalude is it comes on at the very end. We do a little Bondage.
Mm-hmm.
We do Don't Touch Me There still. And Slip My Disco. And, you know, so we have a new instrumental opening for the show that with the dancers, we have kind of a martial arts ballet featuring Ray Dean, but you guys don't have Ray Dean out here. See, that's our problem. We're tragically hip.
Why don't you tell us who Ray Dean is?
Ray Dean is a Japanese superhero comic. I mean, not a comic, an animated cartoon series about a Japanese superhero. You remember Speed Racer?
Yeah.
They had Speed Racer, right?
Yeah, we've still got that here.
Well, that's old stuff in Japan. Speed Racer is old stuff. And now, the same guy who played Speed Racer, Akira, his name is Akira, he is the guy who runs Ray Dean. You know, Ray Dean is like a 50-foot-high, giant, multicolored robot type of superhero. And he's got rockets in both feet, you know, and all these things on his arm. He's got a big bow that flips up in his arm, turns into a bow and arrow, and he's got these little god, everything is god, you see. It's weird. It's American subtitles, right? It's all in Japanese with American subtitles. And whenever Ray Dean protects this city that's in the middle of the ocean in a giant clamshell. There's this city, and there's a big clamshell, and whenever any peril threatens it, the clamshell closes up, and Ray Dean, or Akira, gets on his motorcycle and gets screaming up about 60 miles an hour and hits this big bump, and he goes flying up into the air, and he screams, "Fade in! Fade in!" He says it in Japanese, but in the bottom it says, "Fade in! Fade in!" And he screams that, and he flies off the motorcycle, and the motorcycle goes down, only it never wrecks it for somehow. And the pyramid where Ray Dean hangs out opens up, you know, slides open, a big pyramid, and Akira hits Ray Dean in the third eye, right? That there's a little pyramid right up here on his third eye, and Akira hit, that's how big Akira is, as big as, you know, he's that high on the forehead of Ray Dean. So Ray Dean is like as tall as I am, and he's this high, so he's giant, right? And Akira fades into his third eye and then falls down. Then they show the picture of him falling all the way down through the inside of Ray Dean's body to the solar plexus, where he sits in this chair and runs Ray Dean like, you know, as if it were himself. He puts on these things, straps that are his arms, so Ray Dean moves like his arms move, you know.
Is this how you open up your show now, take off on Ray Dean?
Yeah, we got so freaked out. It's on UHF television there, and
mm-hmm.
It's relatively new, and we just got freaked out watching it because it was so fantastic, you know.
So what kind of takeoff do you do on it?
Oh, we have Japanese dancers with far out outfits on. Brilliantly colored outfits with fins and flames and stuff all over them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a kung fu battle with Ray Dean. That's another one. The Go Rangers, that's another series, Japanese series called The Five Rangers. Only that's not a cartoon. It's a real series with guys, and they have the greatest outfits you ever saw, man. They all have these big helmets, and there's five of them, and each helmet is different. One of them's green with goggles going horizontally, and one has got vertical. It all has to do with their particular skill of martial arts. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a girl, and she's all pink with a big heart on the front of her helmet.
And do you do any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, the dancers dress as the Five Rangers, mm-hmm. and another dancer dresses as Ray Dean. Mm-hmm. And we have this big, we have a big building on stage, a set of a skyscraper, right? It's about 16 feet high. And Ray Dean comes on from the sky, and he jumps off into the arms of these people, of the Go Rangers.
He does this on stage?
Yeah.
Do you have a stuntman doing that? Or?
No. Ray Dean does it with one of the dancers. And, you know, there's six of them to catch him, and mm-hmm. he's one of the skinny dancers. And
then how do you come out on stage?
Then I don't come in until the very end of that number, because the first number is one of the songs on our album is an instrumental. We have one instrumental written by Mingo Lewis, our new member. We have a new member, mm-hmm. since we've been to Chicago. We've got an eighth member of the band.
How did Mingo Lewis come to join the band?
We asked him to join in San Francisco. He jammed with us we were doing a gig there for like 3 weeks at a club there, and he jammed with us for a couple of days, and we thought he was great, and we asked him to come back and jam some more, and he did, and then he didn't come. He had to do something else, and we didn't dig it, you know, we didn't dig it without him, so we said, "Do you want to join the band?" And he said, yeah. He used to be in Chick Corea before, and then he was in Santana for 2 years before this, right. before that. So we asked him to join the band, and he said, okay, and he wrote this great song. And it's called Godbird Change. That's one of Ray Dean's cries when Ray Dean is really in trouble and he's really going to get fucked over. And nothing else, the God missile. He's got a God missile and a God bow and God rockets. And when all those things fail to work, he changes him, his whole body changes into a giant steel hawk. With razor sharp wings, delta wings type of thing. And he turns into a flying type of delta wing hawk. And when his enemy is really tough, he turns into Godbird. He says, Godbird change. And he turns into the Godbird and he swoops down and just cuts him right in half with one of his wings.
So was Mingo Lewis influenced by
No, we influenced him. He didn't know anything about it when he wrote the song, but we figured it. We told him this is perfect. It sounds, the song sound. Of course, you don't have a cassette player, so you don't know. But it kind of sounds Japanese, kind of a cross between your Latin Carlos influence and Japanese, you know, sci-fi music, mm-hmm. Godzilla theme. Mm-hmm. So.
Did Mingo Lewis write any other songs on the album?
No, just that one. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let him take over. Just let him do one song.
Some people say that Mingo Lewis, now having joined the Tubes, is your only outstanding, really qualified musician. Now, how do you feel about the rest of the members of the band?
I think that sucks. That's a fucked question. I refuse to answer it. Well, how do you guys know? You guys haven't even heard it since we had Mingo. They're already cutting us apart, huh?
Happens all the time. Has the rest
the
of the
only
band
qualified musician in the group. Well, I wouldn't say that. Actually, I would have to disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay. Has the band gone through many changes? I haven't heard the new album. Does it sound pretty much like the others?
No. Sounds totally different.
In what way?
Well, it's hard to explain without hearing it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sounds like the Tubes. This one sounds like the Tubes. The other ones don't.
Why was that the other two didn't sound like the Tubes?
I don't know. It's the producers, I guess. The producers thought, you know, they had to especially the first album, Al Kooper was mm-hmm. definitely going for the Al Kooper sound. You see, all these producers are egomaniacs, and they all go, yeah, well, I created the blah, blah sound. And so the every album they do after that, they go for their sound, you know. And so it really wasn't representative. I don't think either of the first two albums were representative of what we're really like when we play live, you know. We're not like those, either of those albums. The second one was closer than the first one, but still it was different. It was not like we are live. We wanted to do an album of a, you know, we did basic tracks live in a big room with a high ceiling, you know, a big sounding room, and the whole band played together on the basics. We didn't just do bass and drums, and then overdub guitar, and then overdub piano, and then overdub synthesizer, and then overdub whatever, you know. We did it all together. We all played at the same time and just got real good isolation and played it together. In fact, I even sang all the cuts live. We never, you know, we didn't use those vocals, but I was out there singing to get the feeling, you know, to help them get the feeling of exciting live performance type sound. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do a lot of overdubbing, you know. We didn't get in any string sections. We have some friends that play strings, you know, that not union session with 35 strings or no horn sections. Mm-hmm. None of the professional overdubs. We did it all ourselves.
So you're going more for the live type of sound now?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely much more where we're at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like us. This album sounds like we really do. That's why I'm real happy about it, because it came out the way it was supposed to. That's why we didn't come here in the fall, you know. Like, we toured last spring, and then instead of touring in the fall, we decided instead of being pressured into, like we had in the first two albums, we were pressured into finishing the album right up so that we could rush right out to go on tour. And they said, okay, you know, at first it was like, well, we'll do the album in September, October, and then you'll go out November and tour all over. And we just went, forget it.
Because
mm-hmm. what if the album's not done? Well, you'll just have to get it done.
Did they give you a deadline now, or they let you finish it at your leisure?
No, they didn't. Well, they gave us a million deadlines, but we didn't meet any of them. Our first deadline was the end of January. Not a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the February 7th, not a chance. Then it was the end of February, forget it. Weren't ready.
Was this A&M that was giving you all these deadlines?
Yeah, more or less. The A&M and the management. The management is trying to book gigs, you know, trying to say, well, they'll be finished on the blah blah on the 14th, and then we'll go to Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kept going, forget it, man. We're not doing anything until the album is right. And we have to remix it 1,000 times. We're not going to stop doing it until it's right. Whether it ever, you know, I didn't want it, unless it was right, I don't want it to come out at all. You know, that's what I said. If we have to quit right now and just forget it, we won't put it out. So we did. We just kept doing it right. We kept remixing it until we were all satisfied, until everybody in the group was satisfied and they didn't feel that their song got burned or, you know, their solo got ripped off or blah, blah, blah.
Did you do any writing on this album?
Yeah. I contributed lyrics, what I always do, on a number of the songs, on You're No Fun, and La Vie en Fume, the smoke song, they call it the smoke song, the life is smoke, your life is smoke and the world is my ashtray.
Do you consider yourself a writer? What is your influence in the band?
I write commercials more than I do lyrics, you know. I write a lot of copy for the, you know, for the group, for routines in the show. I write, you know,
mm-hmm.
cowboy routine that we saw was here at Fart and Fiji, sweet and sour sizzling sausages commercial I wrote. And I can write that better, you know. I have a real hard time writing lyrics. I usually end up interpreting it, you know, and I get credit for interpreting it because I change it in my own way, you know. I change it and they go, yeah, that's okay, whatever. And then I get some credit for doing it.
So where do your ideas come from, the the Quaalude idea, Don't Touch Me There. I'm not familiar with this.
They just come from anywhere.
Is it mostly your influence or the other members of the band?
No, it's mostly everybody's influence. I mean, we, you know, everybody has a hand in it, you know. We're real anarchistic. Everybody wants to be the leader. Bill Spooner is really the leader of the band, per se, you know. He is the musical figurehead, and I'm the, you know, method figurehead. I don't know what. But, it you know, we don't just sit down and some one person tells us all the ideas we're going to do. It just happens, you know. Ideas change all the time. Our show constantly changes. Our choreographer, Kenny, and I and Mike Cotton work together a lot, and we change it, you know. We try new things. We're always trying, always improvising, trying some new spontaneous thing. And if it works, we use it, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that we use in the show just happened, you know, during a show someplace, something happened, and we saw it back later on a videotape, and we went, that's good, we should use that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that, or let's clarify this particular idea, you know. That was good, this spontaneous idea, but let's clarify it and focus in on it more. So we just constantly change. See, we're never satisfied. Never satisfied.
Okay, personally, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you in the tubes? Why are you performing on stage?
Why? I have to have a reason. Because I like to. Because I love to sing. I love to be on stage, and that's what I'm supposed to do. I just know that that's what I'm supposed to do, is to have a good time and you know, sing.
Is there any sort of message that you're trying to get across in your music, or is it just for your own personal satisfaction?
As a whole, you mean? As a concept album or something, you mean? There's all kinds of messages. There's an endless supply of messages. You just got to pick one out and make it fit yourself, you know? Because you can't tell anybody anything. You can't. No matter how hard you try, you can't tell them what's right and what's wrong. You just have to show, just present. We just present our ideas, you know? And I can't force you to take any heed, you know. I can't. All I can do is do what I do.
Okay, do you think of yourself at all as an actor?
Sure. I did a film this year.
You did?
Yeah.
What film?
We just ran out of time.